Judges chapter 7 tonight, book of Judges chapter 7. And while you're turning there, I just want to say that I'm thankful that all of you are listening. And we love you all and appreciate you and are praying for you. And I pray this message will be a help to us tonight. And be much in prayer for our church in these days, for one another in these days. And pray the Lord will continue to work amongst us and help us. And be in prayer for the services this coming Lord's Day, that the Lord will meet with us. And just give us what we need. He always has. And so we're just trusting him in these days and looking for him to see us through as he always has and he always will. And so we thank the Lord for that. And he has always given us the encouragement that we need. And so that's what we're preaching tonight, dealing with encouragement out of Judges chapter number 7. I'm going to be looking at one of my favorite characters in the Bible, named my oldest son after him, Jacob Gideon. And so Gideon is was a great man of God, and the Lord's opinion of him was that he was a mighty man of valor. And so that wasn't always Gideon's opinion of himself, but it was God's opinion of him. And so I think what God's opinion is of us certainly matters the most. And God greatly used this man, raised him up. And so I want to look into his life, look at a familiar passage in his life. And or at least this is at least a familiar chapter in his life, but might probably won't look at the most familiar portion of it. We'll look at a couple verses here and give you a thought tonight with the Lord's help. So Judges chapter number 7, verse number 9, we'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into thine hand. But if thou fear empty vessel tonight, Lord, filled with your spirit, and Lord, to proclaim the unsearchable riches under the oppression of these enemies of God, and in the midst of that oppression, in the midst of the enemy bearing down on them, God called out Gideon and raised up Gideon, this man of God, to be a deliverer to Israel. And what God did for Gideon is what he's done for every man he's ever raised up. That is that he strengthened Gideon for the job at hand and for his will, if you will. Now, God raised up this man. And by the way, anytime God is going to deliver his people, you look down through the years, through the Word of God, down through time, God has always raised up a man. And God raised up a man in this situation. He raised up Gideon. To do what the problem really what it boils down to is belief. If people don't believe that God can do it, well, their problem is unbelief. When we need him to be that, and so his grace is always sufficient. It's always enough. It's always just what we need, and it's that grace is also God will always give us just the amount of encouragement and inspiration that we need to keep on going a few more miles. Now, it may not feel that way sometimes. It may feel like, boy, I really need some encouragement, and I'm not getting it. But let me remind you that God knows just what you need, and He knows just what I need. He knows just how much we can take, just how far we can go. And He's trying, He's wanting to teach us to walk by faith. He is training us and working in us and growing us to walk by faith and to just keep on going when times are tough and just trust Him. And He knows how far He can stretch us. And He knows how far we can go without quitting. And whenever we're right there on the brink, we're right there on the edge, think we can't go one more step, He will step in and give you and me the encouragement and the inspiration that we need, just like He did in Gideon's life. Now, Gideon, at this point in his life, is facing really an impossible task in the eyes of man. As far as man is concerned, the flesh is concerned, this is an impossible task. The Bible describes the Midianites and that army, their number as the sands of the sea. They are without number. This is a massive army. And just before this passage took place that we just read, God's narrowed Gideon's army down to 300. So in the eyes of, you know, as far as the two armies stacked one against the other, I mean, Gideon's got a handful.
He has got just a handful, just a drop in the bucket compared to the army that he is facing. Brethren, it is an impossible task. And let me remind you that in 2020, a lot of what God's called us to do is impossible tasks. It is impossible. In the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the flesh, it is an impossible task. Many of the things God has asked us to do, many of the things God's asked me to do and asked you to do, they are impossible. But He can do it through us. He can do it. And He'll give us just what we need when we need it. Let me just, by way of introduction, notice a few things. First of all, notice the command here. Verse number 9 says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host." God told Gideon, He said, "All right, Gideon, arise, and I want you to go down to the host of the Midianites. I want you to go down into their camp." In other words, the reassurance that God was going to give Gideon, it was initiated by God. God told him, He gave him a command. Before He ever gave him the encouragement, before He ever gave him the inspiration, before He ever gave him the grace that he needed to go on and keep on going, He first gave him a command. He said, "Oh, Gideon, first do this." My question is, what if Gideon had not done that? What if Gideon had sat on his stool, do nothing, and said, "Well, we can't do it. It's impossible. I can't do it. Our army's too small. They're too big. They're too powerful. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going another day. It's done. I'm done. It's over. Ministry's over. My what God's called me to do, I can't do it. And it's all over. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to sit here." What if he had just thrown his hands up and quit right then? He would have never gotten the inspiration that God had waiting for him. He'd have never got the reassurance that God had waiting for them. So there was a command, and Gideon had to obey that command. Now, you know, in one sense, it's kind of like, you know, what's the purpose? Like, you know, Gideon could have looked at it and said, "What's the purpose in all this? Why, you know, why, Lord? Why would I go down there?" See, our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. God's just simply called us to obey. Just obey. And when God said, "Gideon, go," Gideon got up and went. Let me just tell you, obedience is the key. It is the key to assurance. It is the key. If you and I are going to get the assurance that we need, and the encouragement, the inspiration that we need from the Lord, obedience is the key to that. It unlocks the door to assurance and encouragement and inspiration. And a lot of folks lack assurance because they lack obedience. It's just a simple fact. God's called them to do one thing or another, or they know what the Bible says about one particular thing or another, and they're not doing that thing, and so because of that, they're lacking assurance. They battle with assurance. And by the way, let me say this. A lot of folks battle with their assurance of salvation because of that, I believe. There are some folks that battle with their salvation in a big way because there are areas of their life they're just simply not obeying. And I think that there are others who maybe not battle with the assurance of their salvation, but maybe you battle with God's will, the assurance of God's will, the assurance that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Maybe you battle with that direction and battle with the assurance of His will. It might be because of obedience. How is your obedience? Are you doing everything you know you're supposed to do? The assurance that Gideon got from the Lord, it started first with obedience to the command. So the command, then next notice the camp. Verse 9, he said, "Arise, get thee down unto the host." And then look in verse number 12. It says, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside, for multitude." In other words, Gideon had to go down into the camp, and he had to witness and see just, you know, again, he had to see the massive size of this army. The fact that it could not even be numbered, it was so big, as the sand, and he had to go down into that. He had to go into the camp. He had to go to a very uncomfortable place, wouldn't you agree? He had to go down into the camp of the enemy. I said that to say this. God's blessings, His encouragements, and His assurances, they often require us to do difficult things before they're obtained. See, the Lord gave him a command, and he had to obey that command. But that command was to do kind of a difficult thing. Listen, nobody ever said the Christian life was going to be easy. Nobody ever said the commands of God were going to be easy to do. They are difficult to do sometimes. They're difficult to do many times. Most of what we do and most of the commands of the Word of God, most of what God tells us to do goes so against the grain of culture and society. They are not easy to do. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But many times it's whenever we take that step of faith and get out of our comfort zone and go ahead and step out and do what God wants to do, even in an uncomfortable thing, that's when the blessings come. So the camp, and then His courage. Verse 11, He said, "Thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened." Strengthened, that is, he's going to get some courage. God's going to fill him with courage. He said, "Gideon, I've got a message for you out there. I've got something for you out there. And if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to hear the message. You're going to hear what I'm going to say. And you're going to get strengthened. You're going to get courage from that." And by the way, if we'll be faithful, we'll obey the Lord, He's going to have a message for us too. He's going to have something for us too that will strengthen us and give us courage. That's why it's so important to be faithful to the house of God. And that's why it's so important to immerse ourselves in the things of God, because that's where we get our messages from. We don't get our messages from TV. We don't get our messages from God, from commercials. And we don't get our messages from God from sitcoms and worldly music and all those things. We get our messages and we hear what God wants to say from His Word and from His man and from His Spirit. We hear from God in those ways. That's why it's important to be faithful, because whenever we are faithful to the commands and faithful to do what God wants us to do, He'll have a message for us that will fill us with strength and courage and be just what we need to keep on going on for Him. Now, yes, Israel needed God in this situation. Gideon needed God. If they were going to overcome this enemy, this enemy and army that was unable to be numbered, they were going to have God. But let me tell you something else they were going to have. They're going to need some courage. Gideon was going to have some courage. He's going to need divine intervention, but he's going to have some courage too. And God had that for him. The courage. And then the conclusion. Verse number 14 says, And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Now, a man told one story of a breadcrumb rolling into a tent in the Midianites' camp, and that breadcrumb destroyed that tent. I'm sure that's probably what Gideon felt like he was in the eyes of this army. I'm sure in compared to their size, he thought, "Man, we're just breadcrumbs in their sight." Well, God gave a man a vision and a dream to be exactly what Gideon probably thought they were, a breadcrumb, and showed him how that crumb basically destroyed that whole tent and overcome and took over that thing. And his friend, or the man that was there, interpreted the dream and let him know that what he saw is portraying Gideon conquering the Midianites. And that gave Gideon strength. That was God's way of letting him know, "Listen, I am still with you, and I am taking care of you, and I am going to do this thing. Don't be afraid, Gideon. Take heart, take courage, and I am going to do this." And in 2020, no matter what comes, whether it's coronavirus or communism or whatever it is, God's letting us know, and He still wants us to know that He is in control of this thing, and He's still in control of your life, He's still in control of my life, and He wants us to take heart and take courage in this day, because He is still on the throne. And He has still called us to be victorious Christians in this day. And He can still get the job done, just like He got the job done for Gideon. Notice the interpretation. Notice how this man interpreted this dream. First of all, this man, he didn't know who he was helping whenever he gave the interpretation. Do you realize that whenever a man's preaching, whenever God gives a pastor or a preacher a message, not always does that man know who he's helping. Not only does he even know if he's helping any time. I tell you, I preach a lot of times, and I think I'm helping nobody. And there's been a lot of times where I thought that I laid a big goose egg, and I just tried to preach what God told me to preach, and it didn't seem like it went over well. It seemed like it went over like a wet lead balloon, and like it just hit flat, and it didn't help anybody. And it's been times like that where somebody come after and say, "Brother, that was exactly what I needed tonight. Exactly what I needed." Can I tell you that many times a man of God, whether it's a pastor or a preacher, whoever it is, missionary, evangelist, they don't always always know who they're helping. They don't always know who they're talking to. This man was just interpreting the dream for his buddy. He didn't know Gideon was listening. And he didn't know Gideon had his ear on the conversation. He didn't even know he was there. But buddy, he was helping Gideon. And Gideon was getting some strength. And Gideon was getting some encouragement and some assurance to keep on keeping on. Amen. And I tell you, God will work that way in your life. God will send a message. He'll send a messenger. He'll send just what you need. And they might not even know they're helping you. But God will be taking that message. And He'll be stirring that thing down in your heart. Stirring it down in your soul. And giving you some help and encouragement and inspiration to keep on going on in these days. He will always give you exactly what you need. And so that man didn't know who he was helping. But also, listen to this. He didn't know that message, that interpretation. For one, it was terrifying, but to the other, it was encouraging. Boy, think about being that Midianite who had dreamed this dream. And you're telling your buddy about it. And your buddy comes back with this inspiration about that thing. It says, oh man, what you've just dreamed, that's letting us know that Gideon's about to come. And he's about to take over. And he's about to conquer. And this is the end for Midian. This is the end for us Midianites. And boy, that must have been terrifying. It struck fear into their soul. Yet Gideon's in back there and he's getting encouragement. He's getting from God. God's filling him up. Hey, you know what the difference is? One of those folks, one of them was on God's side. The other one was not on God's side. Can I tell you that for the man that's not on God's side, I tell you, the message is always terrifying. It's always a message of judgment. And it's always a message of hell. And it's always a message of eternity. And it's always a message hitting them where their sin is. And I tell you, it's always the message of the wrath of God. That's what the Spirit says. The Spirit of God says to their soul. And it's terrifying to them whenever you're not on God's side. But whenever you're on God's side, you can sit and hear the message. And you can hear the interpretation. And it'll bring you courage. And it'll bring you help. And it'll put iron in your blood in this day. And so for one, it can be terrifying. But for the other, it can be encouraging. Notice this, that man interpreting dream, he simply just told what he saw. He simply just told the truth. He just simply told what it was. That's what men of God do. They just simply tell what they see. That's what we as Christians do for the lost world. We just simply tell what we see. We just simply tell what we read in the Word of God. We just simply tell what we know. You know what God calls it? He calls it being a witness. Just telling what we see. Just telling what we know. Reminds me of that blind man. They came to him after the Lord healed him. And they was accusing the Lord of all these things. He said, listen, fellas, I don't know anything about all that. I know one thing, though. I know I was blind, but now I see. And I tell you, all we do, we just tell what we know. We just tell the truth. And that's what God's called us to do. Amen? And so, he didn't know who he was helping. But then for that message, for one, it terrified. The other, it encouraged. He simply just told what he saw. But listen. God always has a messenger and a message for His people. If we will obey, if we'll simply follow by faith, we'll just simply keep on going, God will have a message for us. And tonight, this might be the message. I don't know. I'm just preaching what God's put on my heart. But for you, it might be the message. You might be at the end of your rope. You might think you've gone every mile you can go. You might think that this is it for you and things are over for you. And God's not going to use you anymore. And this is it, man. I'm at the end of the road. But listen, I'm here to tell you and remind you, this is not the end yet. And God's got more for you. And God's going to want to make you an overcomer. And God's got a message. And God's got a method. And God's got a will for your life. And if He's not taking you out of here yet, He's got more for you, friend. Yes, He's got encouragement. And so the conclusion, and then this really is the message, the conduct. So now God's sent him the message. God's sent him the encouragement. God's sent him the vision and the interpretation through these Midianites. Gideon's just simply done what God told him to do and God gave him what he needed. But notice his conduct regarding it. First of all, inspiration. The Bible says Gideon heard. He heard. And what he heard was that much needed encouragement that he needed in this time. See, from the very beginning, when God called Gideon, from the very beginning, Gideon was a very reluctant and even a very fearful man regarding God's will for his life. regarding what God was raising him up to do and what God was trying to use him for. Gideon was reluctant. He was timid and he was fearful. He didn't know if he could do it or not. Matter of fact, one time, whenever God called him a mighty man of valor, he was hiding, buddy. Gideon was hiding out because of fear. And while he was out there hiding, God called him a mighty man of valor. I say he was reluctant and fearful, and he was bashful. And boy, he didn't have the courage, and he wasn't kind of, you know, the valiant man that you know we would think was necessary. But God had a different opinion of him, and God gave him the encouragement that he needed. And whenever, every time Gideon needed encouragement, God had it for him. Matter of fact, he accepted an offer from Gideon and honored that fleece sign that God said. See, Gideon, he said, "Lord, you know, give me this sign," and laid out that fleece and everything. And God accepted that and gave Gideon encouragement in that. Now, at this point in Gideon's life, God gives Gideon even more encouragement by sending him down to the host of the Midianites one night, hear a Midianite tell a dream, which another Midianite interpreted, you know, as being the success of Gideon. God used all that to be an encouragement to him. I said that to say this. Listen, you can count on God to encourage you in the times you need it the most. And He might be doing it right now. He might be stirring in your soul, encouraging you at the time you need it the most. And maybe He's not, but I'm telling you right now, you can count on Him to. Whenever you get to the end of your rope, the end of your road, He is going to encourage you, and you can count on it. And by the way, He's going to do it in His way, and He's going to do it in His time. That's how He did it in Gideon's life. He did it in His way, in a way that we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have chose to do it this way. I wouldn't have chose to send him down into the camp of the Midianites. I would have thought that would have further discouraged Gideon. My human understanding, I would think, man, if I send him down here, now I've already willed his little army down to 300, you know, men. And so if I send him down to see this massive army, that's going to even further discourage him, man. I'm not going to do it that way. But see, God's ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. And God does things His way. And so what we ought to do is just get in His way. Get in the way. And let God encourage us. And let God use the circumstances of our life. And just be obedient. Just be faithful. And just do what God wants us to do. Because in His way and in His time, He'll give us just what we need. He'll give us the encouragement we need to keep on going. So inspiration. But that inspiration then led to veneration. The Bible says he worshipped. It says in verse 15, "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped." Now Gideon's gladness showed itself in gratefulness. Gideon got pretty happy, as you and I probably would too, whenever we get the confirmation from God that, you know, I'm going to win this battle for you. I'm going to, you know, get that encouragement. And boy, that makes us glad and that makes us happy. But you know what that gladness ought to do? It ought to make us grateful. It ought to make us sit back and throw up our hands and sing loud and sing praises and say amen and say praise the Lord and testify. I tell you, we're too quiet too many times in the worship services. We're too laid back and too nonchalant whenever we have an opportunity to testify too many times. And I tell you, I think that this virus and this all these shutdowns and all the fact that we've not been able to be in church, I think maybe it might be just God telling us, listen, if you're not going to come to church and worship me, if you're not going to be open with your worship, and if you're not going to be glad, and you're not going to be grateful, and if you're not going to let that show, and if you're not going to let the world know, and if you're redeemed, and if you're not going to say so when you're redeemed, I'm just going to take the opportunity from you. Because I tell you, whenever we look around and see all God's done, and see how He's blessed us, it ought to make us not just glad, but it ought to make us grateful. We ought to be able to tell folks all the time. We ought to always be able to speak of the goodness of God. We ought to be able to testify. We ought to be able to say amen. We ought to be able to sing loud. We ought to have a tear in our eye every now and then because we get stirred up over thinking of the goodness of God and how it leads to gratefulness in our lives. When God inspires and encourages, we ought to be grateful. His blessings should inspire worship in our life and nothing else. It should inspire our worship. You know, it's real easy when we get blessed. We're on the mountaintop to start thinking, well, I'm doing this, you know. I'm doing this. But I tell you, what His goodness, His blessings should do to us is it ought to cause us to worship Him and lift Him up every time. Every time. I tell you, as we look around tonight, we've got a lot to be thankful for. No, we're not at church and we're listening to a recorded message and we're you know, kind of doing the online thing because we're not together this time. But I tell you, we can still look around and see a lot that we can be thankful for and a lot that we're blessed for. I tell you, you're sitting there tonight and you've got a Bible in your hand and you've got a message being preached to you and you've got a church that loves you and you've got folks praying for you and you've had a good life and you're saved by the grace of God. And there are so many things we could go on and on and on that God's given to us and be good to us. And so it ought to be nothing for us to be unashamed in throwing our hand up and saying amen and saying thank the Lord. You say, Brother Jacob, you mean right here in front of my family? I mean right there in front of your family. I mean right there in your home. You ought to be able to sing some of these hymns that you know from heart. You ought to be able to sing them and you ought to be able to just sit there with your family or sit there with yourself and not be embarrassed to sing a little bit and praise the Lord a little bit and raise your hand and say amen a little bit because God's been good to you and you ought to be able to talk about God's blessings and thank the Lord openly for His blessings because He's been so good to us. And that ought to inspire worship. First of all, there's inspiration and veneration, and that led to activation. It says that in verse number 15, that he worshipped, and after he worshipped, he returned into the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." It got him activated. He got some inspiration, and then that inspiration led to veneration. He started worshiping, and that worshiping got him activated. He got ready to do something for God. He got that iron in his blood, and he got filled up with the Spirit of God. And he got stirred up for the glory of God, and he said, "Buddy, let's go get something done now." And that's how it ought to work in our lives. We ought to get some inspiration, get the encouragement up that we need. And you know, a lot of times God will send us the encouragement, send us the message, and it'll stir our hearts, but then we don't do anything with it. We just sit there. But what we ought to do when we get inspiration, get encouraged, we ought to worship some. And then whenever we worship, we ought not just leave that in the house of God. Hey, listen, He didn't call us to worship and run pews and shout and scream and holler and worship. And by the way, I'm for all that. I think it's great. He didn't call us just to raise our hand and say amen, shout, and worship Him in a big way, just leave the house of God. No, we are called to worship so that we can then get activated. We can then get out and do something. See, in the book of Acts, when the church, when they got filled with the Spirit of God, they didn't just run laps, run the aisles, and scream and holler and shout amen and worship. Oh, no. Whenever they got filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, the Bible says they got filled with boldness. They spake the Word of God with boldness. In other words, they got activated. They went out and started doing something for God. They kept on going. They kept them faithful. And they kept on working. They got activated for the glory of God. So after His worship, immediately He called the troops to go to battle. He said, "Fellas, let's go get something done." See, worship inspires service. If it's real worship, it inspires service. Just think about Christ in the wilderness. Whenever the devil is tempting Him in the wilderness, one of the answers He gave to the devil in response to one of His temptations in Matthew 4:10, He said this. He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." See, service follows worship. Thou shalt first worship the Lord thy God, and in Him only shalt thou serve. That service follows the worship. Now, a lot of folks, they're not serving well because they're not worshiping well. They're encouraged because they don't worship. They don't worship because they're not grateful and thankful. See, all the things are tied together. Poor worship is often led by a lack of gratitude for God's blessings. I tell you what we ought to do. God may have sent this message tonight just to give you the encouragement that you need. that God's not done with you, and He's not forgotten you, and He's still blessing you and being good to you. And I don't know what He's doing in your life, and I don't know what all this stuff means, and we don't know the answers. I was telling somebody today, you know, I don't know what God's doing. All I can do is just pray and trust. All I can do is just keep on moving forward, because I don't know what God's doing. But I do know this: He is doing something. He is working. He told me He was. You said He told you He was. He gave you a dream or vision. No, He gave me a Bible. And I know by His Word that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And so He's told me that. And He's told me He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He told me He'd never leave me comfortless. So I know by this book that God's doing something. And God's not left us alone. And God's still working and God's still moving. I know that. And so He's encouraged us. And so I don't know what God's doing on all these things, but I know He's doing something. And so because we know He's doing something, because we know He's still blessing us and being good to us, by faith, we ought to get inspired. By faith, we ought to worship. By faith, we ought to be grateful and thankful. And use all that to get activated. How's your worship? How's your gratefulness? Listen, God sent you a message tonight to encourage you. Let you know that just to keep on, He's still working. He's still alive and well. No matter how big the enemy looks, no matter how bad the circumstance looks, it's never as bad as what Gideon was facing. Ain't no way it was as bad as what Gideon's facing. But God was there for Gideon, and God's there for you. God's there for you. And so through that inspiration, through that encouragement, hey, just worship. Just worship tonight. Thank the Lord for being good to you. I tell you, nothing will help you and me more in dark times, difficult times, than to just sit and be grateful and be thankful. Nothing probably would help any of us more than to sit with our families tonight and talk about all the things God's done for us. Just go around one by one, name one thing after another God's done for us and how good He's been to us. You know, probably nothing help you more in the world tonight than to sit and get you a notebook out, get you a piece of paper and a pen, get you a journal out, and just list one by one all the things God's blessed you with. I'm here to tell you that list will get long. That list will be never ending. That list will just keep going and going and going. Oh, you're thinking, you might think right now, well, I ain't got a whole lot. Well, things are looking bad for me. But boy, you just start listening one after another, and that list will get longer and longer and longer. And for long, you'll get encouraged. You'll get inspired. You'll need to worship. And you get worship, and God will get you back in the fight again. You'll be ready to go for the glory of God. May God help us tonight. Thank the Lord for His encouragement. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You, Lord, for always giving us the encouragement that we need when we need it. Thank You, Lord, for how You used Gideon. And Lord, how we gleaned from his life. And Father, I pray that You would use us and help us and encourage us and give us what we need to keep on keeping on for You in these days. Lord, we don't always understand what You're doing or why You're doing it, but Lord, we know that You're surely working. And You are in control. Lord, we trust in You. We're looking to You to keep us going. Lord, to be faithful to us. You always have been. You always will be. And Lord, we want to say we thank You and we love You for it. Lord, help us to worship You. Lord, not just when we're at the house of God, but Lord, tonight even. Lord, when we're with our families, when we're in our homes. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to worship You. Help us, Lord, to honor You and to praise You. Lord, to be vocal about our worship and our praise because You are worthy. Lord, You've sure been good. Lord, we want to say we love You and thank You for what You've done. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for what You're going to do. And Lord, we want to say that we just love You and praise You for just being who You are. But all life and all things You're going to continue doing, we want to say thank You. For it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.